This podcast is brought to you by Dinglemount Church. It will open up God's Word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
Once again, warm welcome to everyone. Our scripture reading this evening will be taken from the book of Job, and that's a familiar portion, but we'll be looking at the book of Job, Job chapter 2. If you've got a Bible, you can open to the book of Job, or it will should come up. Job chapter 2, is the book of Job, chapter 2. And we're going to be considering something very important tonight. We know the story of Job so well, especially how he went through all the trials and the things that happened to him. His friends came and said different things at different times, questioned him, his righteousness, looked up to God and asked questions. And we're going to see, emphasis tonight will be on a question that was asked or put to Job by his wife. And we're going to open up that verse of scripture, Job chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at from verses 9 to verse 10. So if you keep at the back of your mind what Job was going through, Satan had already attacked him, if you remember, and that's the context of chapter 2. And in verse 9, he says there, then his wife, that is Job's wife, said to him, do you still hold to your integrity? And that's the question. Do you still hold to your integrity? He says, curse God and die. But look at verse 10. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, he says, Job did not sin with his lips. And Lord, we just thank you tonight for once again bringing us together and opening up our eyes to read the scripture. But Lord, I pray that not just by reading it, but Lord, you will help us to see the truths locked up in these verses of scripture as we apply it to our lives, not just today, but even in the weeks and the months ahead of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Job chapter 2, as we have it in our church Bibles, you can see right at the top of it is titled, Satan Attacks Job's Health. And I think it's quite a fitting title for that chapter, because what you see is the troubles or the adversity that Job had to go through as a man who feared God, as a man who loved God and did what God called him or expected of him to do. But then Satan came and attacked his health. And not just Satan's health, we know also that Satan also attacked his children. He lost his children and he also lost all that he had. So in the midst of adversity, in the midst of the trouble that Job was going through, that's where you come to verse 9. The wife, this is Job's wife, he says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold to your integrity? That's the question, and that's what we are going to consider tonight. He says, curse God and die. Do you still hold to your integrity? We know that the Bible places a lot of premium on integrity, that we as Christians are called to be not just men and women of integrity, but in everything that we do, everything that we say must reflect that we are living a life of integrity. And that was a life that Job lived, or the life that Job had while he served God. But if you look at the question the wife asked him, do you still hold to your integrity? This is one question out of many questions that you find in the Bible. Because when you go to the Bible, there are loads of questions. And the good thing about questions in the Bible is that they open up or they reveal something that formerly you wouldn't have known about either the person speaking or the context in which they spoke or the intention of their heart for speaking. It's like someone walking up to you and asking you a question. You're not just taking in the question that has been asked. Sometimes you're trying to read some meaning into that question or to unmask something hidden within that question that is being asked. I don't know if you've had this little funny story about a little boy who walked up to his teacher and he asked his teacher a question. He said, sir, can I be punished for what I have not done? And the teacher looked at him and said, how can anyone in this world think of punishing you for what you have not done. And he looked at him and said, well, I haven't done my homework. Now, if you think about that, the question, it was a question, can I be punished for what I haven't done? Now, you might just look at it and say, well, why would anyone do that? But he was asking because there was something, there was an intention, there was an intent in the heart. And that's the same thing for us when we ask questions. We look up to God and say, where is God in all of this? It's a question, but he reveals something. It might reveal a person who is going through trials and troubles, or maybe someone who thinks that God has forsaken him or forsaken her. Or you might look around you and say, where is everybody? It's an open-ended question, but it might reveal your loneliness or feeling that no one supports or understands what you're going through. So questions, though, in as much as they are very important, they also reveal things about the person who is asking and the reason why they are asking. But when you think about Job's wife and the question that she asks, as we've got it here in the Bible, sometimes it's easy to come to this conclusion. I have done this several times, you know, looking at Job's wife, and I was saying to myself, how horrible this woman is. No sympathy for the husband, just looking at him and saying, you just curse God and die. But when you look at the Job's wife, actually the Bible doesn't paint that picture of her as a horrible woman. So it's good for us to take a step back so we're not judging her too harshly. Remember, if you look at the scriptures, she was married to a good and a godly man, as we are told in the pages of the Bible. Not just that, she bore him 10 children. What more can a man ask? 10 children. If Nikki gives me 10 children, I think every single day of... But just to show you that this woman, she has done all that has been expected of her to do. But somehow times we seem to forget that she wasn't that horrible woman that some people think. These words that came from her were the words of a woman who just could no longer bear to see the trouble that the husband was going through. And it was born out of love, actually, if you think about it, because she's looked at him. The pain, the suffering, what is going on? We can't make sense of what's happening around us. And she looked at him and said, do you still retain your integrity that this God will be through to what he said? Don't you think it's better to just end it all and so that the pain and the suffering will be over? But the Bible says that Job looked at her in verse 10 and said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. He says, shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And look at that. He says, in all this, Job did not sin with his mouth. And what you see there when Job replied, he says, do you speak as one of the foolish women? He didn't say you speak as a foolish woman. Because that woman, as I said earlier, is not a foolish woman by any standard. But Job was saying, you're beginning to speak like one. And that is what happens sometimes when we go through trouble, adversity. It might be an attack on our health, attack in our spiritual life, attack all around us. And we come to a point where we begin to speak just like Job's wife. Though we are not foolish in ourselves, we may have a strong relationship with God. We may have walked with God for so many years, but all of a sudden something happens, a crisis in your faith, and you now begin to ask questions. We all maybe will be able to identify with someone, either a family member or a friend, who has gone through some trying or difficult times. You could point to a particular time in their experience when they began to ask questions. Why is this happening? Why is God doing this? I can't understand this God. Or maybe they are saying, I don't even want to know anything about God anymore. Or maybe they are saying, I just don't want to have anything to do with church. They begin to speak like one of the foolish people, as the scripture points out to us. But what we are looking at this night is how not to talk like the foolish. And it's very, very important for us, because that's Job's counsel to the wife. You're beginning to talk like this, but that's not how you should talk. Our words should be characterized by faith. Our words should be characterized by an understanding that there is a God who is still in control of everything. And the first thing I want us to think about tonight, by way of refreshing, is that it is foolish for us as Christians to claim any excuse for not being faithful. And these are the things we are looking at from the foolish talk, or how the foolish talk. Remember, there is a verse of the scriptures that tell us that a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we are called to talk differently. We are called to respond differently. And so when you look at the encounters that Job had to go through, the first thing I want us to think about is it is foolish for us to claim any excuse for not being faithful in our relationship with God. Because Job had every reason not to be faithful to his God. He had every reason not to retain his integrity. And that's why the woman looked at him and said, do you still retain your integrity? Look at all the suffering, all the children, the labor that I had to go through. Gave birth to this tenth. Now, what is going on? She just couldn't make sense of it. And she's saying, there is a reason for us not to be faithful. Even God should understand that we have enough reason for us not to be faithful. Do you still retain your integrity? She looked at the husband and felt that there was every reason for them to rebel against God. The property was gone. Children were gone. Wealth had gone. Health has gone. And sometimes as Christians, that what does happen to some people. They look inwards, see the things happening around them, and something begins to go on in their minds or hearts, saying to them, do you know what? You had every reason to stop coming to church. You had every reason to speak against the church. You had every reason. Look at how you've been treated. Look at what everybody's done to you. And that's how the foolish talked. But you know one thing about Job? Job had to prove that he did not serve God for gain. And that was this lesson coming out of the text for us. Job wasn't serving God because of what he was going to get from God. He wasn't serving him because of what God will do for him. It's just like a father-son relationship. You know as a father that you have a child and there's that bond between you and your child. Your child is not doing what he is doing because he wants to earn or to gain or to work his way into your heart. You know he's your child and you want to love him. You want to shower that affection towards him. And Job was proving that it's not about the blessings. It's not about the 10 children. It's not about God giving me a wife or God, if you're a woman, God giving you the husband. That even if those things are not there, Job is saying, I will still serve the Lord my God. And I think for us as Christians, our greater responsibility really, in view of Christ's suffering, every suffering that Christ went through on the cross, what we should be asking ourselves when we go through troubles or trials is, can my sacrifice compare to his? Can my sufferings compare to his? And I think you're going to be seeing this towards the end. I'm going to read a scripture to you later on. That was Job's perspective. Because when we go through suffering and affliction, we begin to lose sight of the cross. We begin to lose sight of that Jesus who suffered, took the suffering, took our shame, took our pain, and went through it all. All because he loved us. And Job had to keep that in mind. Do you retain your integrity? You've got a reason to forsake him. You have a reason to stop what you're doing. You have every reason to do otherwise. But Job said, I will serve him till the very end. The second thing we should reflect on tonight is, it is also foolish for us as Christians to think that God has no further use of us when he calls us. I don't know how many of you have read the story of Job and thought about it, because remember the condition that Job was in. Everything was gone. And when you think about it, the children were gone, property gone, everything, the body was full of balls, and he was just sitting there. And he must be wondering, and I'm sure his wife looking at him must be saying, you know what, you are completely finished. What further use does God have of you? What is left of you? And sometimes that's how we can feel when tragedy strikes, when things happen that we can't understand, we can't make get our head round. Maybe in old age, some feel that way. It's all over, I'm finished. Can God still use me? Can anything good come out of this life? But when you look at the life of Job, Job was thinking differently. It was for his wife a call to end it all, as we've seen. And one thing that we need to keep at the back of our mind, and I remind myself this all the time, is that when you talk about despair and depression, those are very potent or powerful tools in the hand of the devil. And he's always used it to his advantage. Despair and depression, when it sets in and you can't even see anything else anymore, the enemy speaks into your heart and says, what else is there? What else is left? Is there anything that can come out of your situation? Despair and depression. And when that's setting in the life of Job's wife, and even you see it in the chapters and some pages of the Bible that you see, you wonder why the enemy uses that potent weapon. And remember Elijah as well, a man who confronted the prophets of Baal. You see how when he came to Jezebel, a woman, And all of a sudden, the Bible tells us that he actually ran away and hid himself. He began to murmur. He began to complain. He couldn't see any further use of why God preserved him at that time. It is foolish for us as Christians to begin to think that God has no further use of us. I believe strongly that God wants to use us to his glory. When you read the testimony of great men and women that God used, some of them, God used them even till the time on their dying beds. Some of them right on the bed as they were giving up their last breath, they were still glorifying God. Some of them were still speaking about what Jesus can do. Some of them were still witnessing right on their sick bed. And that shows you that we need to hold on to God. We need to see that suffering cannot separate us from that love that Jesus Christ has got for us. And when we look at the example of Job, what we see is an example of patience. And that's what we see, example of patience. As he was going through it all, he was holding on to God. As he was going through the darkness, he knew that there was going to be light at the end of the tunnel. As he was suffering and his heart was being crushed by pain and the anguish in his soul, he knew that there was a God who was watching all over him. I want us to look at verse 10 of that same chapter, Job chapter 2 and verse 10. And this is very important. And this is something else that we need to take to heart tonight. Not only are we not to talk like the foolish, thinking that God has no further use of us, but we have to do this. In verse 10, he says, "But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed,'" and I like that, "'shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?'" And I think what we need to take from that statement is that it is foolish for us to forget the goodness of God when trouble comes. The goodness of God. It is foolish, and that's how the foolish talk. In times of adversity, they seem to forget every good thing that God has ever done for them. And when they speak, all you see is just, you wonder, but where is God in all of this? Haven't God been good to you? Has he not shown you his mercies? Has he not blessed you? Have you not walked with him? Have you not known him? Have you not had that relationship with him? He said, "Shall we indeed accept good?" He was telling the wife, you've enjoyed good from this God. He's been good to you. He's the same God that had blessed you, protected you, nourished you, gave you preservation, and all the things that came into your life. And he said, "And shall we not accept adversity?" What Job was doing was striking that balance. I don't understand what is going on, but that same God who was good to me, that same God will still be good to me in times of adversity. That same God who brought all the blessings into my life, that same God will still sustain and bless me. And that is what God is trying to get across to us when we read the story of Job. That the foolish only think about the times of blessing, the times when things are going on well. But those who know their God, not just only do they think about the blessings, but in the times of trouble, in the times of adversity, in the times when they can't make sense of what God is doing, they can also look up to him and say that God is good. And that's why when you read through Paul's letters, one theme that comes across in all of Paul's letters is that no passing pain that you go through can compare to God's goodness. No passing pain that we go through as Christians can compare to his goodness. And the question tonight is, how good has God been to you? When you think about his love, when you think about him providing salvation to you, when you think about his daily provision and his protection and his promises for the future, how good has God been to you? There's a quote, I saw this a few days ago, and I love the way it was put, more like from a devotional. And he says that we should never, as Christians, question in the dark what God gave us in the light. Never question in the dark what God gave you in the light. And when you think over your life, there are lots of things that you know you received in the light when you gave your heart to him. But then in the dark times, that's when we are tempted to begin to question them. To ask ourselves whether we are doing the right thing. To ask ourselves whether that same God is still good. And when I read that quote and I said to myself, this just hits the nail on the head. Never ever question in the dark what God gave you in the light. And so by way of conclusion tonight, we've seen that God is getting us to see that we should never excuse or have any reason for not being faithful to our God. And not just that, but we should never think that God has no further use of us. But much more than that, we should never forget the goodness of God when trouble comes across our way. When you look at Job chapter 19, I want to show you Job chapter 19, and the very important verse of scripture in all of this that we've said, in Job chapter 19, and that's the right perspective to have, In Job chapter 19, look at verse 25. And I love the way Job put it in those verses of scripture. Job 19, verse 25. He says, therefore, I know. And I'm sure we know this verse of scripture so well, but it's good to remind us again. For I know that my Redeemer lives. He says, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, he said, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. This is one of those great wonderful truths that you ever will find in the pages of the Bible. That I know that my Redeemer liveth. This is not head knowledge we are talking about. This is knowing by experience that my God lives. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He's always my ever-present help in the time of trouble. And he says that even though in my flesh, some translation will say worms eat up, I be destroyed. He says, I know that in my flesh I shall see God. And that is the perspective of the Christian, that no matter what we go through, whether in life or in death, I know that my eyes shall behold His glory. A time will come when all this pain and suffering will cease, and I will stand face to face before my Maker, singing and glorifying and worshipping His name forevermore. When you come to a point where you can confess, just as Job did in verse 25, that you know that your Redeemer lives, it comforts your heart, it gives you strength for tomorrow, and it helps you to weather the storms of life. Shall we bow our hearts and just give Him thanks for a few seconds?
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church, or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.